Hello friends, today we are going to start a new topic, that is income from other sources, and it is given under chapter number 8 of your book. Now, what is income from other sources? Before we understand this topic, let us understand there is a particular chapter in Income Tax Act. This is your book chapter. This is Income Tax Act. Chapter number 4 of Income Tax Act, of IT Act, which says that under section 14, under chapter number 4 of the Income Tax Act, under section 14, section 14A talks about income from salary. Income from salary. Section 14B is not there. Section 14C is income from house property. House property. Section 14D is profits and gains. And gains of business or profession. And section 14E is capital gains. And last but not least, section 14F is income from other sources. So these are the five heads of incomes, and here we have to understand that income from other sources is given under chapter 4, section 14F of the Income Tax Act. So today we are going to deal with this particular income from other sources. Now, my dear friends, let me explain to you that what this income from other sources means. It means that any income which cannot be included in rest of the five heads of income, which cannot take place in rest of the five heads of income, that is four heads of income. The income which cannot take place in rest of the four heads of income. But if it is income, and this income shall come under the head income from other sources. Therefore, if the income which cannot form part of any of the first four heads of income would be transferred, considered, taken under the head income from other sources. Now, income from other sources, can we say that it is nothing but a residuary head of income? Means the balance head of income. Income from other sources is nothing but a residuary head of income. What is the meaning of residuary head of income? Means if it is an income, what is the meaning of income? If it is an income, means if it is a taxable income, the income must be there. But if the income is not taxable, it has no place in computing the total income. Agricultural income is income, but the same is exempt by virtue of section 10, subsection 1 of the Income Tax Act. Therefore, I want to say, if at all there is any income to the person and that income is taxable under the Income Tax Act. Now, you will see the definition of income is given under section 2, subsection 24 of the Income Tax Act. So, if there is any income and that income is taxable, and that income cannot be placed either under the head salary or under they had house property, or under they had business or profession, or under they had capital gain, then that income shall be placed under the head income from other sources. So this is how we have to understand, but be very careful. This, there must be an income. So what are the conditions of income from other sources? First, there must be an income, and that income must not be a taxable, must not be an exempt income. It must not be an exempt income. It must be a taxable income. And that income has no place in the, what do you call it, four heads of income. That is, other four heads of income, it has no place. Then this income shall be considered under the head income from other sources. So, section 56, this income from other sources, starts from section 56 to section 59 of the Income Tax Act. So section 56 to section 59 of the Income Tax Act talks about income from other sources. Now if we see what section 56 subsection 1 says, section 56 subsection 1 says that income of any kind, income of any kind, if it is taxable, but which cannot be placed in the four heads of income, then that income shall be considered under the head income from other sources. This is the mandate, this is the, what do you call it, direction of section 56, subsection 1 of the Income Tax Act. So, if the income is there and the income is taxable and the income cannot be placed in the rest of the four heads of income, then that income shall be taxed and shall be considered under the head income from other sources. My dear friends, please understand one thing. If it is income, it has to go to some place. Now these are the five heads of income. So these are the five heads of income. In any one of the heads it has to go. So that income which cannot be taxed in one of the, which cannot be taxed in four heads of income, shall come under the head income from other sources balancing. Is that clear? So this is section 56 subsection 1. Now section 56 subsection 2. What does it say? Section 56 subsection 2 gives us the descriptions of the income, gives us the description of the incomes, that what are the receipts, what are the gains, what are the incomes which can be, which shall be, which have to be treated as income from other sources. So section 56 subsection 2 enlists the incomes from other sources, the list of the income. Now the first in the list, section 56 subsection 2 subsection 1, is dividend income. The act says that the dividend income shall be taxed under the head income from other sources. This is the mandate under section 56 subsection 2 subsection 1. Now what is the meaning of dividend income? If you will see section 8 of the Income Tax Act, dividend income includes dividend received under section 2 subsection 22A to section 2 subsection 22E of the Income Tax Act, that I'll discuss later on. So again I'll tell you, section 56 subsection 2 subsection 1 talks about dividend income, that dividend income shall be treated as income. Once it is income, it has to go to some head, and this income shall go under the head income from other sources. You cannot take it under the head business or profession. You cannot take it under the head salary income. You cannot take it under the head capital gains. So this is the dividend income. Now, dividend income is defined. Dividend is defined. Section 8 of the Income Tax Act defines the dividend. In Section 8, there are two parts, Section 8A and Section 8B. Section 8A talks about dividend received from what you call it, under Section 2, subsection 22A to Section 2, subsection 22E. If the things, what you call it, in these eventualities, if the dividend is received, if the amount, the receipt shall be treated as dividend income. So if the company distributes the assets, the company does not distribute the shares, the company does not distribute the cash, the company does not distribute the, what you call it, dividend in form of cash. The company distributes the assets of the company. Then this, that value of the asset shall be treated as the dividend. Like this, if the company, instead of giving cash to the shareholders by way of dividend, if the company distributes debentures, then this shall also be treated as dividend under Section 2, Subsection 22, Subsection B of the Income Tax Act. Third, if the company goes into liquidation, what is the meaning of liquidation? Winding up. Winding up is nothing but the end of the company. The life of the company comes to an end. That is called as winding up. And on the winding up of that, if the assets are distributed, that shall also be treated as dividend. Fourth, if the amount is given or assets have been given on the reduction of the capital, that shall also be treated as dividend. And E says that if the closely held company gives loans or advance to its shareholders who are having more than 10% of the voting power, then this amount of advance, even it is advance, even it is loan, but if it has been given by a closely held company, then this amount of advance shall be, even it is not dividend, shall be deemed to be dividend, shall be deemed as dividend. So Section 2, Subsection 22E says that if the closely held company, what is closely held company? A company which is not a widely held company is a closely held company. Now what is widely held company? Widely held company is defined under Section 2, Subsection 18 of the Income Tax Act. If you will see Section 2, Subsection 18, you will find widely held companies defined. What is widely held company? The company in which the government or RBI holds more than 40% of the share capital. Or the company which is listed in the stock exchanges is a widely held company. Wipro is a widely held company. TCS is a widely held company. Infosys is a widely held company. Tata Sons is not a widely held company because the shares of Tata Sons have not been listed in the recognized stock exchange. That's why it is not a widely held company. What I want to tell you, that these things, if the company distributes the assets to its shareholders instead of cash, instead of bank checks, by way of dividend, then also the distribution of the asset under Section 2, Subsection 22A shall be, must be, has to be treated as dividend. Where it is written? It is written under Section 8 of the Income Tax Act. Secondly, if the company issues debentures instead of cash, giving cash as dividend to the shareholders, debentures have been issued. These debentures have also to be treated as, what do you call it, as dividend. You must have seen very recently, Dr. Reddy Laboratories came with a debenture offer and it distributed debentures without cost to the existing shareholders. And this would be treated as, what do you call it, dividend. ZTV, just has distributed debentures to the shareholders or preference shares to the shareholders. So this is how we have to understand the concept of debentures. So if the debentures have been issued, if the assets have been issued, on the liquidation if the assets have been given, on the reduction of the capital if the assets have been given, or if the assets, and last but not least here, from 22A to 22A to 222D is applicable to all the companies. But 222E is applicable only to closely held companies. What is the meaning of that? That if the closely held company, instead of giving the dividends, instead of distributing the dividends, gives the loan or advance, that dividend amount is distributed in the form of loan or advance. In that case, this loan or advance shall also be treated as dividend in the hands of the shareholders who receive it. Even if the loan or advance has been paid back, then also it will be treated as dividend. This topic I will deal later on. But I am trying to tell you what is the meaning of dividend income. Now next in dividend income, interim dividend. Say Infosys. What is the meaning of interim dividend? The dividend distributed in between the financial year. That is called as interim dividend. So, interim dividend shall also be treated as dividend. So, Infosys comes out with an interim dividend of rupees 3 in the month of October and gives the final dividend in the month of June later on. That is a final dividend and this is an interim dividend. So, whether it is a final dividend, whether it is an interim dividend given by the company to its shareholders, shall be treated under section 8 as dividend income. Once it is dividend income, it has to go somewhere. Section 56, subsection 2, subsection 1 has a place for this dividend income. Is that clear? Wonderful. Now, next in the line is, what do you call it? So, we have seen dividend income is one of the heads of income under income from other sources, one of the sources of income rather, under income from other sources by virtue of section 56, subsection 2, subsection 1. Now, the next in line is section 56, subsection 2, subsection 1b. Now, this talks about if the person receives income by way of lottery income or crossword puzzles or races including horse race or gambling or betting, then such incomes shall also be treated as income from other sources. I want to tell you that lottery income, crossword puzzles, races, horse race, gambling, betting, etc., etc., they are incomes. Whether they are legal or illegal, income tax is not concerned with the legal aspect. Income tax says that when the income is there, you must pay the tax. Even the gambling is illegal. Income tax will say that no, in my view, it is income. Because if you will see section 2, subsection 24, subsection 9 of the Income Tax Act. Section 2, subsection 24, subsection 9, these activities are treated. These activities are accepted. These activities have been given as a gift. As incomes. And when these activities have been treated as incomes, the amount received shall be taxable under the head income from other sources by virtue of section 2 subsection 24 subsection 9. These are incomes, and when they are incomes, it has to go at a particular place, and they will be treated as income from other sources under section 56 subsection 2 subsection 1b of the Income Tax Act. Is that clear? Now, we have understood that if the person earns income by way of betting, by way of lottery, by way of crossword puzzles, by way of races, by way of horse races, by way of gambling, by way of TV games, by way of entertainment shows, where he earns the income, then this income shall be taxable as income from other sources by virtue of section 56 subsection 2 subsection 1b. And the definition of these things, they are treated as incomes under section 2 subsection 24 subsection 9. Section 2 subsection 24 is the most relevant section. It defines, prescribes, enumerates, includes the sources of incomes. So, we have understood that whether the income is by way of betting or lottery or crossword puzzles or races or horse races or gambling or by TV shows or by competition in TV or by entertainment shows, if it is income, it will be taxed under the head income from other sources by virtue of section 56 subsection 2 subsection 1b, because these are also treated as incomes by virtue of definition of income, which includes these things also, and it is given under section 2 subsection 24 subsection 9 of the Income Tax Act. Now, considering this, so these are also income from other sources. These are incomes from other sources. Now, let me move to a wonderful section called as section 56 subsection 2 subsection 1c. 56 subsection 2 subsection 1c. Before I start this section, there is a concept of provident fund, recognized provident fund. In recognized provident fund, what happens? The employer contributes the provident fund, and similar amount is taken from the employee. Now, what happens? Suppose I am not running a business. I am a trust, and I have got an employee. I am deducting his PF from his salary, say rupees 10,000 yearly, and equal amount of rupees 10,000 is paid by the employer. Now, when I deduct from his salary, naturally I will pay him less by 10,000 rupees. That means this amount of 10,000 rupees is retaining and remaining with me. Once it is remaining with me, under section 56 subsection 2 subsection 1c, this amount of the employee which has been collected by me for PF, which is to be given to the PF authorities, if I have just collected it, the moment I collect it, it becomes my income from other sources if I am not doing business. If I give it to the authorities later on, the amount shall be deducted. But the moment I collect it, it shall be treated as what you call my income. Because if you will see, income from the amount collected from PF authorities shall also be treated as income by virtue of section 2, subsection 24, subsection 10 of the Income Tax Act. Again, I will repeat. If I take the amount from my employees, I am not doing business here. Now, if those employees pay me from their salary, their contribution of PF And I put it in my pocket. The moment I cut it, deduct it, this amount becomes my income from other sources. And it will be taxable unless and until I do not pay this amount back to the PF authorities as per PF rules. So, Section 56, Subsection 2, 1C says, amount collected by the employer who is not doing business from his employees by virtue of PF contribution, which is defined under Section 2, Subsection 24, Subsection 10, shall be treated as income from other sources, and later on, if he gives it back to the PF authorities, then it will be allowed as a deduction. But if he does not give it back, does not give it back to the PF authorities, then this amount shall be taxable in the hands of that person as income from other sources. So this is Section 56, Subsection 2, Subsection 1C.